Luke's Gospel 10, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" We know God will add a blessing to the reading of His precious truth. The Good Samaritan. I'm sure many of us have heard the story read to us even at Sunday school. What a wonderful story it is. In modern day language, this man's mugged on his way to Jericho. He fell among thieves. But you'll notice if you read the story carefully that this man who was going to Jericho, the Bible says, as he went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And I want you to notice the two words, went down. Went down. That's his direction. He's going down. Of course, the Bible tells us that Jerusalem is the city of blessing. At this time, Jerusalem is the place where the temple is, where the Lord is coming into the temple, where the Shekinah of glory is to be found. All the blessings are in Jerusalem. But Jericho, on the other hand, is the place of the curse. Jericho was cursed by God. So here's a man, and his direction is from the place of blessing to the place of the curse. His back is on the blessing. His face is towards the curse. Do you know, friend, that's just a picture of every man and woman that's not saved? Their back is on God, and their face is towards destruction, and they're going down. Every day they live, they're going down deeper and deeper and deeper. You see, in life, in the journey of life, you don't get nearer to God as you go along the journey of life. You get further away. When you begin the journey, while you're tender, you have an age of innocence, eh? When you're just a babe and you're just a toddler. And then you go to Sunday school if you were there at all. Remember, the Sunday school teacher tried to help you, tried to win you, tried to woo you to Christ. And you were tender. There was something wonderful about the gospel message. It touched you when you read the stories of Jesus. Remember when you ran up the aisle for your praise at the Christmas day, and you would run up and you'd all the thrill that you would maybe get a Bible or a picture for attendance. All those things were precious to you when you were a child. Oh, but as you get older, as you go down the road of life, as the saying goes, you've been round all the corners. You've saw it all. Friend, you go to some person that's old. You go to an elderly person, and you try and bring them the gospel. Do you know what you'll get? You'll get their head nodding like this. They'll not argue. Most of them anyway won't argue. They'll not hurt your feelings. Old people won't do that. They just nod their head. Smile at you. You see, I remember when I got saved, I thought everybody would love me. I did. I didn't get telling you the sequel to the testimony, but maybe some night we will. But I thought everybody would love me. And I had a dear auntie with me last night. And when I went to her house at first, I went in and said, I've got gloriously saved, the Lord has delivered me. And their heads went, right? And then I started to get in a wee bit tighter, and I started to visit them. And I made my business to get the gospel over, and Sylvia done the same. And I saw a change. I didn't like it. And you see, my uncle more or less told me one day that he had seen all everything. He had noticed all those things down through the years, and he had saw it all. Praise the Lord, they both got saved. But you know, friends, that doesn't happen very often. You'll find the older you get, the harder you get. You might mean to be harder. It's just you've been through so many things. And you say to yourself, oh well, sure, it'll do them no harm. It'll do them no harm. I hope it works out for you. You know what heart and arteries is? You get them when you're older. Well, you get hardened attitudes as well. You just get a wee bit hard. And as you go down the road of life, you're that wee bit harder. Wonder where you are the mate. You're somebody's growing. Somebody's grandpa. Somebody loves you. Wonder where you are the mate. Maybe you go out that door every night, you come here, give me a wee smile. Are you not saved yet, bud? I heard a man relating something I never forgot. He talked about the great Niagara Falls. And he said there was a piece of ice floating down that big Niagara Falls. And inside that ice, there was frozen the carcass of a lamb. And he says that as it went down the fall, there were two men with field glasses, and they fastened on it. And as they watched it floating down, they saw an eagle swooping down. And the eagle perched on the ice, and it began to claw at it, and began to peck at the ice with its beak, to try and get the carcass of the lamb out. And one said to the other, do you think it'll get the carcass out before the ice goes over the side? And they watched. And every now and again the eagle would lift its proud head and would look, and then would start again packing at the ice. And as that ice came near the edge of the floe, the eagle knew it wasn't going to get the lamb out of it. And it lifted up its head and it looked as the ice came near the edge. And it lifted its wings to leave the ice, but it couldn't leave the ice. Because its very talons was frozen into the carcass that it was trying to get. And they watched as that ice went down, and the eagle beat its wings and screeched. But they watched as it went down into the flood. Friends, that's what sin does. Oh, there are people that tell you, I get rid of this thing. I'm going to get rid of it. My way of life. I'm going to change it someday. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get right with God. Someday, someway, somehow. But not now. There's going to come the day in my life. Friends, I want to tell you, sin, sin, sin will find you out. Sin will keep you out. Sin will pay you out. It'll take you down into the pit. Friends, when you think you're going to leave it, you'll find you'll not be able to leave it. Because it'll have got such a grip on your life, friends. When you try to break free, it'll take you down into the pit. Friends, tonight, look, there's a direction you're on tonight. And your face is towards the curse. and your back's on God. That's the way this man's direction was anyway. And then I can see not only his direction, but in verse 30 I can see his distress. It says he fell among thieves. Far enough to rob someday. I have done it. God forgive me. But to rob them as well, or to beat them as well rather, that was really odd and insult the injury. And they were intending to do him in. They left him half dead. Didn't know where he was alive or not. What distress to be in, to fall among thieves. Do you see some of you wee boys in this meeting here? You have fell among thieves. In that world there are thieves, and they lie in wait, and they come upon young people, and they pinch, and they rob them of their health, they rob them of their money, sometimes they rob them of their very life. You have a look at the statistics for young people's suicides. You have a look at it. They're robbed. Don't you be making fun of young. Look, what has it got? What has this world got for them? When I was a wee boy in short trousers, and that's not a million years ago, I can remember, Fred, we had things to look up to. There was things to look up to. There's nothing to look up to now. There's even wickedness in high places. There's nothing for them. And they've been robbed. And there's thieves. And these thieves land with. You go to the man who's standing outside the public house today. You watch him. He starts to stagger down the street. Oh, friends, it comes on your television. Some guard sitting in a car drinking a martini. They never show you the man get home to the house. They never show you the women who have them put to bed because they're afraid of them. They never show you the home they're drunk. But I know about it. Oh, friend, there's a thief. And he gets the people and he just gets the drink into them and he makes devils of them and he robs them. One of them said to my daddy one day, says the devil's bothering me. So he is too. It's bad. There's thieves admitting the batting shops. Oh, there's been a headline. Mr. So-and-so is 100,000. It might be you. You might have a chance. Why not? He won't. You might win it. They'll never show you the millions of homes that are racked and ruined. They'll not show you the man who's behind bars because he couldn't help but have a gamble. They'll not show you that. They'll not show you the women. Yes, women. Who are forking into their purse. They're forking the money out into the machines as quick as they can do it. That show you that. They're being robbed. Robbed. Friends, there's thieves. And that show you the wee girl that's walking along Piccadilly today. Piccadilly in London. Listen, walking round the City Hall. Have you ever met them? Someone at Queen's University. Have you ever met them? And their eyes are black. And they need to get a fix in their arm. They're robbed every day they live. Don't you tell me it's because of no brains. There's some of them who lost you with brains. They're just robbed. Every day they live. They're robbed. And there's thieves out in that world there. And they'll rob you. And that's what they'll do. And they'll leave you half dead. Did you ever watch outside a bookmaker shop? I'll invite you to do it. You go to a bookmaker shop now, you do it. And you watch
and watch the old man, about 80 years of age with a wee foot, and he's holding on to a jacket, and he's getting into the rain, spitting him up the field, and he's getting in, and he's getting in to see it, the television, and he's rolling back and forward. He's on the edge of another world. And he doesn't care that.
I used to stand at Dunmore Park, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays, Celtic Park, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. I used to stand and watch men. Men whose nerves were bad. Men whose bodies were packing it in. Men who were racked and ruined. And their whole life was centered on whether a dog would pass the line first. Robbed. Robbed. And the God of this world blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine them. A man said to me that long ago, two sons were going to beat him up. He said, I don't know what I've done, he said. I don't know if anybody would want to beat their own father up. They want to beat me up after all I've done. I tell you what he's done. He's drunk every day he's lived, and he's made his boys the same as him. And now he's decrying the fact. Because you reap what you sow. You do. Robbed. And this man fell among thieves. And it would be bad enough to be in that distress, but I want you to notice his degradation. You see, it says in verse 31 and 32, there were people that went by. People that went by. The religious man went by. Have a look. And when they have a look, they walk on their way. And the Levite too, he had a look. He stopped and saw the law. The law's cold. There's a penny of them all the same, but you don't want to get involved. Let's not get involved above anything. That's what's wrong with some of us Christians. We don't want to get involved. Just leave us alone now and our own wee ivory tower and we'll be all right. There's people all around us bleeding and dying on their Jericho Road. Thanks be to God for the people in this church that has went out and brought such people to hear the gospel. Bless them for it. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down to the planet. You know what he said? You human beings that are being robbed.
You human beings that are being taken away. You're at a distance from God. And you're in darkness. And you're dead. You're afar off. You're at a distance. And I'm the way. I'm the way back to God. You're in darkness for the God of this world that has blinded your mind. But I'm the light. You're dead. I am dead spiritually.
But I'm the light. And I'm the answer to your life's greatest problem. Do you believe tonight that Christ is the answer? Religion's not the answer. When that religious man saw him bleeding and dying, do you know what he said to himself? Oh well. He'd have been better taking another road. If he had had my garb on, they wouldn't have attacked him. Judas Iscariot found out that religion, when you need it most, will let you down. Judas Iscariot got the money for betraying the innocent blood. And you know what he did? When his conscience pricked him, he went to the very religious people that had given the money. He said, look, take it from me. I've betrayed the innocent blood. See, you idiot. What's that to us? What's that to us? We didn't ask you to take the money. You talk to a public and nobody will tell you. I don't bring them in. They come in themselves. I don't ask them to get full drunk. I don't get full drunk. I never touch it. And if I do touch it, I make sure I'm all right. You ask a bootmaker. And what about? Oh, I don't ask them. I don't compel them to come in here. They come in the rules. They want it. Nothing to do with me. I'm innocent. see, nobody wants responsibility of it. And they said to Judas Iscariot, you took the money. You took the money. Friends, do you know at the end of life, you die without Christ, you won't have a leg to stand on. You won't. Because it's your own willingness and sinfulness. Friends, you're an Ulster. I'm not going to perish blindly. Not at all. You know all about this. You know all about the sacrifice for sin forever. You've been taught it. You've read about it. You've heard it sang in every street corner. You know. And at the end of life, God meets you. He'll devour you in his wrath. He'll not have a leg to stand on. And thank God for the last verse, because you know what the end of the story tells me about? Not this man's direction for his distress or his degradation. It tells me about his deliverance. Do you know what happened? Somebody who should have despised him loved him. That's what the Good Samaritan's about. Somebody who should have despised him loved him. That's the gospel story. God should have despised me. Should have despised you. Tonight, he loves you. He loves you. And he sent his son. And I want to take it to Calvary. What happened to Calvary? Look, there's three crosses at Calvary. And the middle cross, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, he's dying. Now he's dying with sin upon him. He's not dying with sin in him. In him was no sin. But he's dying with sin upon him. Whose sin? Yours. Mine. All my iniquities on him were laid. There's a thief beside him. He's not getting saved. He doesn't want the salvation. He's dying with sin upon him and sin within him. There's another thief. And he says, Lord, I want to be saved. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he's dead with sin in him, but not upon him. Do you follow what the gospel message is? The Lord Jesus Christ is dead with the sin upon him, not his own. The Christ rejecter is going to die with sin upon him and sin in him. All those Christians here, we die. We die with sin in us. Because in our flesh we have no good thing. But one day, just because we'll not die with sin upon us, one day Christ will call us and our bodies will be perfect. He took my sin and my sorrow and he made them his very own. Do you know what Paul says? Therefore now I know condemnation. To them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm free. I wonder tonight, dear friends, where you are. Is there sin in you? The principle of sin? You were born with that. You'll die with that. But is there sin upon you? The practice of sin. Thanks be to God tonight. The practice of sin can be taken from you and placed on Christ. And you'll go free. Because Jesus Christ paid for sin in its totality for all eternity at Calvary. And you'll be free. You'll go free. I wonder, have you Christ in your life? Maybe in these nights of mission when others have been saved, God has spoken to your heart but you haven't settled it yet. I wonder as a wee girl or as a wee boy, have you thought about getting saved? But somehow or other the things of life have gone around you. And they've left you half dead at times. Do you know what God does? He does exactly what this man did. He comes to where you are. Oh, I was bleeding and dying on my Jericho road. And he came to where I was. And he bound up my wounds. He poured in the wine and the oil. See, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me. keeps on cleansing me. It's into my very wounds. Those wounds that God looked out and said from the head to the toe, there's nothing, only wounds and bruises and put your fan sword. But I have given you my blood and it cleanses you. Keeps on cleansing me from all sin. But he didn't only clean me with the oil and the way. Friends, look, he binds me up. See that book there? That book binds me up every day in life. It's the bondages, if you like. It wraps itself around my heart and soul and strengthens me. And bless be God, not only that, but he give me the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God will look after me till Jesus comes back. I wonder tonight if anybody will look after you. The valley of the shadow of death's coming for you. Have you anybody to look after you? Oh, I pray tonight. I was just thinking, going home last night after the testimony. I was just saying to myself, if only I could have given a testimony like that policeman I heard about. Policeman down in County Down Yonder in Kirkcaldy, in the big church, give his testimony one night. I wasn't there, but I heard a man saying this. He says, you know, the fella got into the pulpit and he just stammered out a few words. He says, I was saved through my wee girl. My wee girl, he says, only about 5 years old. He says, I was on duty that much, and he says, I come in this day and had the big tunic buttons and all on, and he says, she was just going out to the shops with her mummy. And I looked down at her and I said, would you not stay with me? And she looked up and she says, I will. And mummy went on to the shops, and he says, she bounced up onto my knee, and she says to me, what did you do today? And I told her, and then I said, what did you do today? And she told me. And then she says to me, what about playing a wee school? And he said, I got the buttons all loose and I got away into the chair. And I said, all right, well, we'll play a wee school. And she says, well, fold your arms. And he says, I folded my arms as if I was in school. And she says, well, now, you're the teacher and I'm the pupil. And you asked me some questions. And he says, well, then I said, you fold your arms. And he says, she folded her arms. And I began to ask her a question. What's 1 and 1? 2. What's 2 and 2? 4. And then she got fed up. She says, Daddy, let's turn it round. Let me be the teacher and you be the pupil. And I agreed. And she made me fold my arms again. They said, I was sitting and she was looking up at me. She says, Daddy, you're awful smart. You're smart. You would get all the sums I would give you. But she says, I'm going to say poetry to you. And every line of the poetry I say, I want you to say it after me. Will you do that? She says, I'll do that, certainly. Now she says, Donnie, if you don't say all the poetry, you're not getting the full marks. Only get full marks if you finish it. She says, I'll finish it. And he said, my wee girl began to say to me, just as I am. And I said, just as I am. Without one plea. Without one plea, but that thy blood, was shed for me, and that thou bidst me, come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And he said, I wouldn't say I come. And she says, Daddy, say I come, finish it. You don't get the marks if you don't finish it. He says in that chair, with my wee girl looking into my face, God convicted me. I knew I'd never came to the Lamb of God. The wife was saved, but I wasn't saved. And he said I couldn't say the words. I couldn't get the words out. And she began to get annoyed and she began to cry. But she says, Daddy, finish the poetry and I'll give you the marks. But he said I couldn't get the words out. For I knew I'd never came to the Lamb of God. Just at that moment, mummy came back and the wee girl went off his knee and he says, I tried to get it out of my head. O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come. He says, in the early hours of the morning in the parlour, I got on my knees, got down by the big chair, sobbed my heart out and I said, Lord Jesus, I know you're the Lamb of God. And tonight I really want to come to you. And I want to be saved. And he was gloriously saved. He says it was 3 or 4 in the morning, he was going up the stairs. The big tears were tripping him. He says he noticed their door was open. And he just made his way in quietly. He says the sheets were just above her head, just slapping the sheets up like that. And he says very quietly, tiptoed, he was crying, and he says, "It's all right, love. It's all right now. Your daddy's really came to the Lamb of God." He says, 2 wee eyes come out, he says. And she says, "You'll get full marks now, daddy. Wonder tonight in the meeting. You gonna get full marks? You can honestly say tonight, I have came to the Lamb of God." Friends, your past cancelled. And praise God, you've got a good mark for all eternity. It'll get you to heaven.